Most Iditarod reporters like to focus on the race leaders, the slick teams up front that make the rugged 1,000-mile race to Nome look easy. Not Craig Medrid. A longtime Anchorage reporter has always been fascinated by the mushers that struggle and are eventually forced to abandon their dream. During this year's race, he collected the most heartbreaking stories of defeat in a book called Graveyard of Dreams, Dashed Hopes and Shattered Aspirations Along Alaska's Iditarod Trail. Medrid followed the race by snow machine, which he says was its own adventure.
Probably shouldn't say this, but some of the funnest parts were when I could just kind of be away from everyone and take off and spend time on the snow machine by myself and have quiet moments out there. And I think everyone in the race shares that. And if the book lacks anything, it doesn't quite capture how it's this odd combination of a social event and an anti-social event, in that I think everyone likes being away from everyone else, but then they all kind of like being together too. So it's kind of a commentary on the human animal that, you know, we really don't like people, but we have to have people.
Give us some examples of why mushers were forced to give up this year.
I think most of the people who failed, it just kind of became an overwhelming task to keep the dogs functioning, to keep the dogs happy, to live with the dogs, which, I mean, to somebody like Rick Swenson or Martin Boozer is really easy, but it's not simple to make a bunch of dogs into your family. I mean, it's, you know, they have different little personalities, they have different little needs, they don't always get along. It's like having, you know, 16 3-year-olds, and your job is to keep them all kind of working together every day, and it can be overwhelming.
Did you find that mushers who were failing, were they willing to tell their stories?
When people's hearts are broken, they want to tell their stories. I mean, everyone wants to tell their story, and often, you know, you're kind of conflicted about getting them to do that. It often makes it better for them to tell their story. In fact, it almost always makes them better to unburden themselves and just tell their story. So, yeah, I found them very cooperative and very, very, very willing to talk, even in some very difficult circumstances. In fact, a couple of cases when I just kind of like stopped the interview because it was really more than I wanted to know. It was almost too personal as to how involved people were.
Craig, you write a lot about Iditarod or mushing addiction in the book. How real a phenomenon do you think this is? And why does this particular sport have the power that it does over people?
Well, I think it's a very real addiction, and I think a whole bunch of people admitted that. And I write about old David Azen Brave from Talkeetna, Iowa. He used to live in Willow, I think, did it seven or eight times, never did make it. And I think the most revealing thing wasn't talking to him, that when he finally decided, and he's in his 70s now, that he had to quit. He had to sell everything. I mean, he couldn't just sell the dogs and the harnesses and the sleds. He had to sell the dog houses and everything and move, because the draw to go back was so strong that he was afraid that if he looked out there and saw an empty doghouse, he'd get a dog to put in the doghouse and it would all start again. It's a very serious addiction, and I don't know, it's hard to describe why. It's like most addictions. I think part of it is the fascination with the, you know, with the romanticism of it. I think part of it is that the dogs grow on you. I mean, we all know how dogs are. Every one of us who has a dog, you start treating it like family. If you get a whole bunch of them and you're treating them like family, and you get this idea they all want to go on this adventure to Nome, you feel bad if you don't take them. You feel bad if they don't make it.
So, Craig, how crazy do you think someone has to be to even attempt this race, the Iditarod?
Well, I don't know. It's being a romantic crazy. You have to be a romantic. You have to have that vision of Jack London and Sergeant Preston and all those kinds of things. And, I don't know if those people are crazy. And if they're crazy, is it a good crazy or a bad crazy? I mean, it's a good thing to have dreams. It's a wonderful thing to have dreams. As someone who loves dogs, I think it's kind of cool to love dogs. I think it's wonderful that people dream about doing it. Now, whether or not some of them should do it, that's another matter. But crazy is not a bad thing.
Craig Medrid is a reporter for AlaskaDispatch.com. His new book is called Graveyard of Dreams.